Hello, this is Joe the Grief, and this is Will's Band of the Week, the best podcast in the world. Are you ready for an amazing show? Let's get going. Dun, 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 dun.
This is Will's Band of the Week for August 30th, 2022. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Anurag from the Kitchener, Ontario Bureau.
Hello, everyone.
And for those of you familiar, Anurag has that cool flaming lips, nine-panel, do you call that a nine-panel display?
It is a nine-panel, and it's all on wood. I love it. I haven't gotten bored with it so far, so that's a good sign.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good studio look.
Yes.
I haven't really set up Fourth Bedroom Studios to have a cool look. Like, I don't have a cool thing behind me. I should be, if I were cool, I would set that up and there'd be like really cool band. I don't know. It would just be a cool display.
You should put up some green screens with, some of your favorite artists looking over your shoulder.
Yeah, that'd I could cool do that. Or I could get a cardboard Ron Swanson. That idea has been taken already. Maybe there's some other cardboard thing I could get. Who would I have looking at me? Like Joe Casey from Proto Martyr. I need a cardboard Joe Casey.
Okay. Are they coming out with a new album?
They haven't said, but it kind of reading between the lines, I would guess they're probably recording one at the moment.
Okay.
Because it's been their most recent album came out right when COVID hit. It was about to get released. So, it was like 2020, and so I guess it's just 2 years. It's not that long, but anyway, yeah, still it's over 2 years since their last album, and they've been rocking. They've been touring. So, well, we have some fun stuff. I think we're, I'm striving to not babble on for too long. I think that we have a shot at coming in under an hour here, but I don't want to discourage all the intelligent and insightful commentary that you're going to have. So I don't want you to be constrained at all.
Oh my God. I don't think my wife would agree with you.
Well, that's different. It's never that. The wife never thinks that. Well, let's see. I think this is, it's kind of exciting for me. I went out to Portland to see my son Reese, who has been on the podcast several times. So I got the Portland scene, and I've taken trips out there in the past, and I usually come back and say, "Yeah, I didn't get any a chance to see any live music, so too bad." Some band probably came 2 days before I got there, and then some great band came a week after I was there, and I didn't see anything, but that did not happen this time. I come back and I have live reports.
Nice.
So I'm sure the listeners are waiting to hear this. So I was there for 3 nights and I actually saw music all 3 nights. The first night, right next to my hotel, is this kind of dive bar downtown. And I didn't really realize it, but it's sort of a dive bar, and I don't know, actually it's sort of a nice bar actually, but it's in kind of a grungy part of town. A lot of homeless people, a lot of trash on the sidewalk, that kind of stuff. But the bar is kind of cool, called Kelly's Olympian, which I had never heard of. But I was just looking up music listings before we got out there, and there was a show, kind of an indie rock kind of thing going on. And I thought, well, maybe I can see a band and start the live reports coming. Well, I was expecting to get to my hotel at about 9 o'clock p.m. And then it got delayed. I got in about 10. Then we got something to eat. The bar has food also. And then it's on the other side of the bar where the music venue is, which is like a garage. You know, really pretty cool setup, actually. Real simple. And so there were three bands on the bill. There were a couple of Portland bands. And then this band called Hey Cowboy, which is this, I don't know. I sampled it a little bit on Bandcamp. I thought this might be kind of cool. So it was supposed to start at 9. So I get there at 10. We get done eating. It's like 11. Reese says, I think I'm going home. I'm like, fine. This is next door to my hotel. There was still a band playing. So I asked the bouncer guy, oh, so it sounds like the, you know, is the headliner playing now? And he's like, oh, yeah, they're playing right now. So I'm like, okay. So I paid the cover charge, went in, and it was a different band playing.
I'm kidding.
They switched up the order for some reason. They had like one Portland band, then they had the headliner, and then another Portland band played, and they were not good. So I was like, oh, I saw 20 minutes of a band that I didn't like very much. Don't even know their name. But the only cool thing about it, I didn't really like their music. But then at the end, after they finished, there's probably like 20 people hanging out in this small room, and they all gave each other a group hug. So it was very, very charming.
So you didn't like the music and you stayed?
No. Yeah, because it was like 20 minutes. I'm like, I'll just stick around a while. Because I was at that point, I wasn't even clear that the other band had already played.
Oh, okay.
So then I went back to the merch table, and she said, oh, yeah, I'm with the band. She wasn't like in the band, but she was like traveling with them. She said, oh, yeah, they played second. I'm like, oh, darn. And then she says, well, they're right over there if you want to just go talk to them. And I thought, okay, that would be a little awkward, right? I would just walk up to them. Some old guy walks up to them and says, I'm sorry, I didn't see you play tonight. Seems like I might have been good. So, all right. So that was the start. Second night, though, legendary Courtney Barnett tour.
Oh.
Called nice. The Here and There Festival, where she's getting legendary indie rockers to open or play with her at all these different venues. And I'm still waiting for the live report from Baird and Chris, because they went to the Chicago leg of this, where the openers were the Beths and Always. So that's pretty cool. All right. So opener, Fred Armisen, comedian.
Oh, really?
He's a comedian and he's a very good musician also. And he just basically cracked music jokes for about 25 minutes and played drums, and then he'd play guitar and he played some more drums while he's kind of cracking jokes. It was very, very easy 25 minutes to listen to. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. This was I like him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've always admired his stuff. Yeah.
And this is at a big outdoor space in, it's just outside of Portland, called Troutdale, and it's called the Edgefield Amphitheater. And I think the capacity is something crazy, like 7,000. It's a great big lawn, and then they've got seating up in the front. Probably, I assume people paid extra for that. And we have the lawn seats, but we got kind of toward the front of the lawn. It was a really beautiful setup, beautiful night. Really convenient beer and concessions and stuff. And so it was great. So after Fred Armisen, guess who the next act was, Anurag? Waxahachie.
I know that.
And here's the thing, though, I got to say. It was a disappointment because she didn't have her band. It was just Katie Crutchfield solo.
Oh, you're kidding? Oh, she didn't have the full band?
No. I mean, nothing wrong with that, but just the dynamics of... I mean, the sound was great, and she played about 40 minutes, but just her and a guitar. And I kind of... I was telling Reese, like, I enjoy this most when I'm just kind of lying on my back on the lawn. And it was fine. You know, I was just a little disappointed, though, that she didn't have the full band. But the sound was great, and, you know, she got a pretty good reception. And then Courtney Barnett decided to cede the headlining slot because the other band was Slater Kinney. So I think she was like, okay, well, you guys can go last. So Courtney Barnett played next and was great. Katie Crutchfield went on and sang, went out and sang a song with her, which was cool. And that was just really, really good. I had forgotten, you know, some of these bands that I haven't really listened to recently. I'm going to say the highlight, I'd forgotten how great the song Depreston is. I don't know if you remember that one. That's from
a few
albums ago.
Yeah. That was the first album, I think.
I think so. The one with that long title, Sometimes I Sit. What is it?
Yeah.
I'm not even going to do it. Try to do it.
Sit and think. I don't remember.
Oh, sometimes I sit and think, and sometimes I just sit. Something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, very solid. And then Slater Kinney. Yeah, I'd never seen them, and they're still rocking. They're I like to affectionately call them aging rockers, because that's to mm-hmm. me that's a term of affection. Kerry Brownstein is definitely still rocking.
They're changing their drummer, right?
Yeah, the drummer.
A little while ago.
That's, I think, Janet Weiss quit. So now they have like three other people. So they have like a really, really full band. They've got a synth player and a drummer and a. I think they had a separate bass player, and then the two principals were playing guitar and singing.
Okay.
Really good, really solid, and of course they're from the
Pacific Northwest. I'm surprised they're touring. Do you think they're going to come out with new material?
I don't know. It was only a year or two ago that they put out their last album. So, okay. And then they had a couple of old songs that I had kind of forgotten, hadn't heard in so long, and I thought, wow, this is really good. And then I think they had a jam with Katie Crutchfield might have come out, and maybe even Courtney Barnett. I'm not sure, but we left just a few minutes early because they were warning people at the very beginning before they introduced Fred Armisen. I think she said, "Be really patient because it's going to take like 40 minutes to get out of the parking lot."
Oh my
god! So we were kind of like, "Oh man!"
So people started leaving early.
So like about 15 minutes before we thought it was going to end, we started walking out just so we got a head start. And then we heard this jam going on when we were walking to the car.
Of course.
So it worked out great. So it was totally solid. The whole experience was really fun. So all positive on that one. Then the third night, I was scouting out. In fact, I wasn't even scouting out. I had already kind of checked the listings, and I didn't see anything was playing. But then on the Twitter of, I'm going to call them podcast favorites, Colatura, who I saw at South by Southwest. Okay. They said, mm-hmm. "Hey, we're playing in Portland," and it happened to be that night. And they were at this bar, kind of, I don't want to say in the middle of nowhere, but way up north Portland, not really near anything else, a bar called the High Watermark. So I just went up there, and, you know, they were sitting at a picnic table outside. It was really low-key, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I walked in, and there's a bouncer guy. And it was another one of those classic bars where there's a bar, and then right behind it, you know, there's a music room. And it was great. Right. It was great. Concrete floor, small room, really good sound system, you know, all good. And I walked up to this table. There's this guy sitting there, and I said, "What's the cover charge?" And he pauses because he doesn't know what it is. And he leans forward. There's this piece of paper hanging from the table that I hadn't looked at because I was like looking at him, right? And this table, he leans over and sees it, and he's like, "Oh, $10. $10 cover. Three bands, including Colatura. It was great. Opener called Bug Seance from Portland. I really enjoyed. Colatura, I thought were really great. And then the headliner, or whether they call it that or not, they did the same thing. The touring band was the second band. And then another Portland band played last, called Helens, and I thought they were great. They were really shoegazy. I think you might like them, Monorog. They're very...
What is it called?
Very
again?
Shoegazy. Helens. Like Helens. The name Helen with an S on it. Yeah. So I listened to both Bug Seance and Helens, and really like them both. Bug Seance is a little more of the power pop side of the shoegaze, but still a little shoegaze. And Helens has a more... they've got fewer songs out there, but they're a little bit better recorded. So, just fun stuff. I mean, there were probably 25 people which I just felt bad. Like,
oh,
25 shit. People and like 15 or 20 of them were members of the other bands, you know,
oh,
kind of
no.
like that. So
that's the worst.
So I felt bad they didn't have more people, but very, very good. So there you go. I hope that wasn't too boring for everybody to hear, but I really I had a very successful little mini music thing in Portland. So
when you go to these cities like this, do you just go for the music scene, or do you I'm just surprised that if I had to go to Portland, I would walk around and see what the other stuff was like.
You mean other than
like
music?
The other, yeah, other than music.
Oh, well, we did that like all day. We did a rafting trip. Fantastic.
Okay, gotcha.
It was just at night, and, you know, if there was music, then we did it. And the, you know, the Courtney Barnett thing was kind of a destination thing, I guess. But the other two were just like stumbled upon them. So, you know.
Yeah. And your wife accompanies you, or
This one was just me to visit Reese out there.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
Yep. So, good time. There's your Portland update.
Excellent.
And okay, so and I'm going to be doing some traveling. So I'm hoping we will have a full regular podcast next week, but probably the next two after that, next 2 weeks, we will either have no podcast or maybe I'll throw up something like a single bonus song of the week, and it'll be like a 3-minute podcast. I don't know, or maybe nothing. So just so people are aware of that, because I know that like every week, that's the most important thing in people's lives. Pretty much is to
yes.
get our podcast. So I hate to cause such terrible disappointment. but when I'm literally not anywhere near my house and my computer, I can't record a podcast. It's probably a way. I mean, I could dictate something into my phone and then
I was going to say that. Don't a lot of people do that?
Yeah, I mean, you could, but the music part would be tricky. I don't know how. Like, I've got a mixer here, you know, to have both you and me on the recording, and then to mix in the music and all that stuff. And so we have done a remote podcast. The only time we did that was the South by Southwest 2019. We did a couple of we did two or three of those live report things from South by Southwest, but those were just like voice memos, you know, on the phone. So yep. All right. Are we ready to rock now?
Yes, we are.
We've been not rocking. We've been just talking about rocking. How did we get to... Oh, my God. My timer here says 17 minutes. I really blathered for a long time. Oh, my God. The people
That's
turned
okay.
it off
it's
by now.
It's your podcast. You're allowed to do it.
All right. So one thing I did when I was on my way out there, and I flew out there and took the train back. So it was a very interesting travel experience.
How long did that take?
Train takes 2 days, like two full days.
Holy crap.
It was 43 hours, I believe, was the actual amount on the train. Yeah, I just decided I'm going to do this once. And, well, you take the train goes through Montana. It's really beautiful.
Oh, that must be totally flat.
Well, there's like plains, and there's little. It's not totally flat. There's some kind of cool geography, and well, like going through the state of Washington is pretty great too, because you go along the river for a big, long time. And anyway, pretty cool. I would recommend it if you have the patience and if you want to try to sleep in a. I didn't get a sleeper car. I just had a regular coach seat, so it was kind of.
You spent 43 hours on a coach seat.
Yeah. Well, I got up and walked around a little bit. Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's a little challenging, but it's also kind of cool. I was up for the challenge. You have to have the psychological disposition to be ready for it.
I
like train travel, so it was pretty cool.
Okay.
So one thing I did on the way out on the plane that I took on the way out, I thought I got to find something interesting to listen to, and I realized that there was a new Black Midi album, and I thought, you know, why not listen to the new Black Midi album? Because, you know, there's a new Black Midi album and it might be interesting. And it had gotten some good reviews, and I'm like, why not? So, you know, I didn't know what to think of it, and I'm still not sure I know what to think of it, but I thought, hey, why don't we just talk about this? So We're going to find out what you think about it. Maybe we should just start with a track, though. Listeners of this podcast are probably familiar with Black Midi, and they've been polarizing. Famously, Chris gave them a 2 out of 10 for the first album, I think. but now they're up to their third album. I read about it a little bit and learned that one of their band members left, I think maybe after the first album. So they're officially a three-piece band, which when you listen to this, you're like, how could this possibly be a three-person band?
Yeah.
So I wonder if they have more touring.
They must have session musicians too, for sure.
Yeah, or they're overdubbing, or they and to play these songs live, I can't imagine three people doing it, but
that's true. Yep.
Anyway, all right, let's just play a track. The album is called Hellfire, and it's always easy to start with track two. Let's just do that. Sugar Zoo.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for the sporting event of the year? To the thousands in attendance and to the millions watching around the world, let's see some thunder!
Posterity will show me to be the greatest the world has ever seen, a genius among non-entities. The earthquake clash of the century, 2163, I was there, but could not see, being a 3-foot-3 superfluous freak, blinded by necks, upper backs and knees, falling flat, flapped by the breeze, thunder in the red trunks, the sun blew in the blue, both ran to the center of the ring, while the rhinestone soup continued to sing.
That's Black Midi. So I don't know, what is that sort of? It's a combination of like a show tune and progressive rock or something.
Like, my wife was asking me, what is it? And I said, I think it's experimental rock, but I'm not sure. But yeah. Yep, I have listened to this album a couple of times. I forced myself to listen to it.
It was hard work.
I'm kind of on the bandwagon with Chris on this one. I just don't get it. Sorry. It's not my cup of tea.
It was just so off the wall that I just thought, I think this is going to be interesting to listen to. So I'm going to give it credit for just kind of taking me out of my comfort zone, and I thought it was kind of interesting, and I think I could go. I don't know if I would go out of my way to see them live, but I think if I did, I could enjoy it because there's an unpredictability about it, and I think I can't really tell sometimes what they're going for, but you can. There's got to be humor in there, right? I mean, the way he sings and some of the songs.
Yeah, he's sort of fact, he sings so fast, and the content of the songs are so huge. You can't follow the, you know, what exactly is he's trying to say, which is, I guess is pointless because his vocals are basically an instrument in his songs too, right?
That's kind of true.
They carry the song.
Yeah.
Even those 7-8 minute long songs that he has, that the band has on it. But my main problem has been, I think this is a problem, that's why I can't really understand jazz as much, because I need the central thread in a song or at least on an album that I can kind of follow. It could be anything, you know, mm-hmm. it could be drums or just the bass or something. And that's what's missing from this album. And I did want to like it because it is a very complicated, complex album to listen to.
Right, yeah.
And I was doing this while I was pulling out the weeds in my yard. And I had really long weeds. I've been trying to get to them for a little while. So.
And you're thinking, why did Will make me listen to this?
It was homework.
There is some jazziness to it, too. Yeah. Yes. I have a mixed relationship, I guess, with jazz. There's some old classic jazz that I love.
Yeah.
But I say that I love it, but it's not like I listen to it very often. But I exactly. when I hear it, I really appreciate it. But then when it gets too wild and crazy, then I don't like it as much. So
no.
Yeah.
The jazz, going back to the old jazz, my God, I'm blanking out on the names. But the regular, the big hits in the jazz world. And I do have some of their vinyl as well. But the new jazz, I've tried and tried and tried. Trust me, I tried really hard, but it I just don't get it. So that's what this Black Mini album reminded me of.
Yeah.
But I did listen to it a couple of times, and I do have a pick. So we can go through it right now.
All right.
So we're going to listen to... I wanted to play part... Let's listen to song number 3, Eat Men Eat.
That has some 60s psychedelic rock in it, doesn't it?
It has so many things. Yeah, so, yep. It's enjoyable for a couple of listens, but I don't think I'm going to go back to this again. So, and that's my 2 cents.
No tickets for the Toronto show.
No tickets for the Toronto show.
Even if they came to Kitchener, maybe you wouldn't go. Well, that would be kind of sad, but I would understand.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I do like the unpredictability of it and the whole like you said, experimental rock. I guess they're not really afraid to do just about anything. So
yeah.
All right. Let's bump up to number 9, called The Defense. Thank you.
crowds swarm out doorways, and the street lamps are lit. One of my disciples begins his wandering. In the alleys, in the main streets, he searches for men. The virile, pathetic, and lame, leading them in to our establishment, he starts to cry.
Black Midi. They have two singers, and the one who's got the real distinctive voice is Jordy Greep. I'm pretty sure that last track was him. And it's funny to me that he has this bizarre, and like you're saying, like sings really fast sometimes, and he's got this bizarre delivery. And then that song, he comes out with this crooner singing that's like, this could be some guy playing in Las Vegas. You know,
that's true.
But yep. I mean, he can actually sing. Like, he could just decide that could be his career if he wanted to. I don't know. I just think it's funny. So obviously, they're multi-talented. It's a question of how they want to use the talent. You know,
true. No. I really liked his voice, and also his singing style is really, really cool. But the whole package, it's not working for me. So what did you think of it?
Well, I basically said what I can say about it, which is just that, you know, it's not connecting with me like in like some kind of intimate way, but it's I still find it kind of fun to listen to for its unpredictability. And I just think they're really talented. So it's just kind of fun to hear what they do. Even if it's not really in my music wheelhouse, so to speak. So
exactly. Yep.
So, all right. You might love him or hate him or whatever.
Why did you decide to review it if you were kind of like thinking you're on the fence with this?
It was kind of a moment where I was on the plane and I put it on and I was like, wow, this is just, I just thought it was interesting. You know, there you go. Interesting, I guess, is the word. So, yeah, and I made it through the whole album, finding it pretty much interesting all the way through. So, yeah, like I said, some people are going to love it. Some will hate it. Some will not care, whatever. So there you go.
That's right.
We're throwing it out there for you. Decide. Vote. Who are you with, me or Anurag or Chris or, boy, who's the biggest Black Midi fan? I don't know.
I don't know either.
I think Barrett really liked them.
Oh, really?
At the time of their first album. Barrett. And I'm not sure what he's thought about the second one and this one. So that one time Barrett was a pretty big fan, so we'll have to find out from him what he thinks.
We haven't seen Barrett around for a little while.
He hasn't been in podcast mode. He's been in like easy listen without having to be a music critic mode. You know, not that we have to be music critics, but yeah. I think he's allowing the correspondence to carry the load for a while.
Okay,
I'm sure we'll get him back at some point.
We miss you, Barrett.
Just yeah, everybody tells him how much you all miss him, then maybe we can get him back. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. I mean, I'd love to have him come back, but I don't want to hound him and bother him and be an annoyance.
That is not fun.
Because he knows he's got an open invitation. So, as a founding podcaster. All right, let's go to the next one. Seems like maybe you find this one a little more palatable than Black Midi. We're going to find out. this one I've had on my list. Maybe we should talk about this for, I don't know, a few weeks now. So I thought, let's do it. Katie J. Pearson. I'm pretty sure she's from Bristol, UK.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
I have an impression of where Bristol is, but I'm going to embarrass myself if I say that and then it's wrong. So I'm looking it up right now. Craig's already ashamed of me for not knowing, probably. I think I wasn't too far off in my mind. Straight west of London on Western England, not quite to Wales.
I will take your word for it.
So there you go. Katie J. Pearson. I think she's been around, she had at least one prior album when she got kind of noticed by a lot of people. And so maybe this is her second album since she's been reasonably known, kind of. Let's check, see what, that looks about right on the Bandcamp page. So people can correct me if I'm wrong. She's got a UK tour going on these days.
Oh, okay.
So, all over the UK, so pretty cool. All right, it's Katie J. Pearson, and I don't know. I guess I'd say she's sort of a singer songwriter, but the album is very, colored in like full band sound, which I like a lot.
It is.
So
I was just looking at the listing, and I suddenly noticed that I see a lot of song credits going to somebody by the name of Robert Pearson. Who's that?
That's
the same name.
Okay, now you put me on the spot. That means that
we just also quickly check. Oh, it's her brother.
That's cool.
And they were in some group together before this, so that explains that.
All right, you're exposing my lack of music journalism.
Hey, I just did what you do. Google it quickly.
Now, when you hear this, you will not hear a connection with this other band, but it's interesting. One of the producers. Was involved with the band Yard Act, maybe producer, and there's a video or something of her performing a song with Yard Act, which I thought that's kind of cool. That's kind of a fun connection. All right, before we bore everybody to death, let's play a track. Easy pick again, number two. That's what you got to do. Got to play number two. Talk Over Town. Katie J. Pearson.
And after listening to Black Midi, it was such a relief to listen to Katie.
You're probably thinking, oh no, is this going to be another Black Midi?
No, yeah. No. It's pretty good. I really liked the album quite a bit. And I kept hearing, what's her name? Stevie Nicks. Everywhere.
Oh, there was one. There's one that totally sounded like Stevie Nicks. We'll see if one of us play it.
I'm forgetting the name of that song now. So
there was one. There was one. I was actually going to say that, and you stole my comment now. Yeah, you're right. In places, it does. The one track I was thinking of. Well, if you don't play it, I will. So they'll get to hear it. And I was thinking,
okay,
you know, give this to Stevie Nicks, and it's like a comeback hit for her. I don't know if you can have a comeback hit now with Stevie Nicks. Maybe it's too late for that, but you don't really need a comeback hit like when you're a mega star like that, right?
Nope.
I don't know.
You don't.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's an interesting album. I really like the backing vocals on that last track. There's something about them. It sounds like they got a big group together, and it's like three or four people singing, you know, kind of cool.
And did you notice, too, that this album just got stronger towards the later half of the album? I just got the sense that the songs that come after number six songs, those are so much better than the first five. So
really? I didn't really think that, because I really liked the first half a lot. So the second half, I thought, you know, held its own. It didn't, like, tail off badly or anything, but
I'm a little more biased toward the notch, but all right,
now we have another debate. So people are going to have to go, all right, first half or second half of the Katie J. Pearson album.
Exactly. Prove him wrong.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. All right. My pick is number seven, Float.
I think I know why you picked that track.
Why?
It's the one that sounds the most like Waxahachie.
That's right. As soon as I saw it, she started singing. I said, oh, no, this is not the Stevie Nicks sound. But you're right. That's similar to Waxahachie.
It's got a similar vibe, right?
Yeah,
I think
it does.
Yep. So you got Southern United States and you got Bristol, and they share this commonality, which is kind of cool. Doesn't matter where in the world you're from, you know. It's interesting.
Yes.
It? Yeah. All right. I'm going to cheat. I'm going to play snippets of two more tracks because I have to play the the Stevie Nicks one, but I also wanted to play a little bit of number 3, Riverbed. So let's listen to a little bit of that one. Katie J. Pearson. I thought that was a good, catchy one, too.
It was, yeah. See? I told you it picks up.
All right. Okay, here's the one that I thought really sounded like Stevie Nicks. It's a sort of a stripped-down thing, but I don't know. See if you agree with me. It's number 6, The Hour. She could sell that to Stevie Nicks for $1 million, right?
That's right. I think this is the one. Now I'm forgetting. As the song started, I was like, holy shit, this is totally Stevie Nicks. But yeah, she's got a blend of a lot of good artists, and I think she's produced to come out with a good album.
Yep, I agree. We're pretty much in agreement on this one then. So
yeah.
All right, good. Okay, I think we did it justice, right? People, check
it
out. Katie J. Pearson, fun album, worthwhile. And yeah, there you go. So, well, no third band this week. We are very straight and to the point this week, but we never forget this.
It's the bonus song of the week. It's the bonus song of the week.
Those royalties to Nicholas are getting really expensive. but we'll keep that. Listeners, don't worry about that. We'll take care of it all behind the scenes. You know, if he's not happy with what he's getting, we'll, you know, all those difficult negotiations will happen behind the scenes. You guys don't have to worry about it at all. Okay, we'll take care of it.
I was going to say, if he's not happy about it, he can fly from Australia straight to Wisconsin and just deal with you, right?
That's true. He could do that. Yeah. That would be an intense moment, right? It would be Nicholas like suddenly showing up at my door, but there'd be like two lawyers in black suits on each side of him. You know,
and he'll probably have a song about the confrontation as well.
Yeah, that's true. The confrontation jingle.
Yep. He'll probably conduct the whole thing in song.
Yep. do you remember when Nicholas did his impression of 38 Special? Oh my God, that was great.
Yeah.
Nicholas, was like way back in whatever. That's probably like in 2014 or something. All right. You want to go first, Anurag? Bonus song of the week?
Or you're not going to like me. So as you know, I've become a big fan of TikTok. And one of the people that I, content creators I follow, is this woman by the name of Jax. That's spelled J-A-X. And she has really funny snippets in there. And she does get in a lot of really, I won't say high profile celebrities, but, you know, people you know from TV and whatnot, so you'll recognize them instantly. And so she's actually an aspiring musician, and she came out with a song, I think, a little while ago, about 4 or 5 weeks ago. And because I really like the, you know, the creator, the content creator, so we should listen to her song. It's very poppy, but the lyrics are, they hit right on target. And it's called Victoria's Secret.
Told me I was overweight. I stopped eating. What a bummer. Can't have carbs in a hot girl summer. If I could go back and tell myself when I was younger, I'd say, psst. I know Victoria's Secret. Girl, you wouldn't believe. She's an old man who lives in Ohio. Making money off of girls like me. Cashing in the body issues. Selling skin and bones with big boobs. I know Victoria's Secret. She was made up by a dude. Victoria was made up by a dude. Victoria was made up by a dude. I wish somebody would have told me that. Cellulite with hunger gains like every night. If I could go back and tell myself when I was younger, I'd say, hey, dummy.
All right, that's pretty good. I found the lyrics, so I was reading along.
Yeah. I know at the moment you hear the music, it's like any other pop song, but then you listen to what she's saying, it's definitely got a big, big message in it. So
now if she's big on TikTok, she's got this song, now she's going to be arena rock, she needs more songs. She's going to have some like catchy hard-hitting social commentary lyrics, right?
Yeah, there's one that I really liked is, you know, the Stacey's Mom, the song?
Yeah, yeah.
And she did a song from Stacey's mom's perspective.
Oh, interesting.
Like, and she's like, can you please tell your friend to stop staring at me and getting on me?
That's pretty good. That's good.
It was really, really funny. So just explore her page on TikTok. It's hilarious.
Okay, that's pretty good. Jax, J-A-X.
Jax.
All right. I'm not as interesting and, you know, out of unpredictable, I guess. I'm more predictable in my bonus song of the week. In fact, I found it fun to kind of thematically, I like to go back to either maybe something that one of the other bands reminded me of, so we could like play a Stevie Nicks song, but I'm not going to do that. But this goes back to the Live Reports, the band Helens, which I really enjoyed. And they're just like on the cusp of, I think, putting out their first album. They've got some singles. And the latest one was, I think, one of the highlights of their live show. And I'm pretty sure it's the most recent single that they put out. So if you like the shoegaze stuff, you know, it's got kind of that slow dive sound. And just to throw one thing out there, live, it was really dynamic. And I actually did a video, you know, like Nicholas does these things, right? You take a little snippet. But if I played my snippet, it just doesn't have the same impact because it's got to be it's got to be loud, you know, to really experience it. But yes, the studio recording of this song is really pretty solid. So here it is, the band Helens from Portland and their single called Reverie. Helens.
Good selection. My God.
Pretty cool, right?
Yeah, I've been looking them up and they've just been releasing songs.
They haven't released an album yet. Right, I think they have three or four singles and I think an album coming up though, pretty soon.
Okay. Oh, that was really cool. Good pick.
Neat, interesting thing I think about that song is that there's a verse and then the chorus is just basically the instrumental part.
Oh, you know, wow.
It's like,
okay,
here you go. We're going to play some cool shoegazy chords, you know, through about 10 effects pedals. they're a good live band, too. They've got a good kinetic energy going on, you know. So yeah, they kind of move in a cool way to the rock and roll rather than just like literally being the shoegaze style.
Good.
You know.
Good.
So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to their album. And I'm really glad I got to see them in front of 25 people in Portland. Come on, people, start supporting this band.
Seriously.
Maybe it's the album that they need to get a bigger audience.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, I went to see Pink Mountain Tops, and I was really disappointed that this band's been around for 25 years and only about 50 people showed up. But they didn't let them hold that back. They were just killing it.
Yeah, don't you always get, like, mixed feelings? Because on one hand, like, the band deserves more people. On the other hand, it's like you're getting a private show.
You know? That's right. Yeah, I could just, like, if I just did, you know, reached out, and I could have just touched that guy. I didn't, but...
Yeah, you did. All right, very cool. Thanks, Anurag. Oh, yep, I think we might be over an hour, but it's going to be really close. If we can only make it exactly an hour, it'd be so professional.
Yeah, okay, then let's stop right here.
Yes. And then, you know, all right. Well, thank you again, Anurag. I was traveling. I'm like, we got to put together a podcast for next week. And you are always ready to rock on command. Mm-hmm. And whenever we need you, it's great. It's fantastic. So I don't know. Do you have any live shows coming up that you're going to see?
We're going to see, me and my daughter are going to see Cigarettes After Sex.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And I was supposed to actually go tonight to see The War on Drugs.
Oh, okay,
but
that didn't happen.
Because I'd been working in the yard the whole day, so I was exhausted. And I was like, I don't have the strength to drive all the way to Toronto and then drive all the way back at 1 in the morning. So I skipped it. But I did want to see a few. I am also traveling in September for about 3 weeks. I'll be away. And I really wanted to see, what's that? Otoboke Beaver?
Oh, right. Yeah.
They have a show on the day I come back to Toronto. So I was like, God damn it, I just missed them.
So it's like one day, miss them by one day.
Yeah, the same day that I land, they're doing a show. So I'll give you updates when I come back and see if I can watch any live shows when I'm traveling.
Well, you should try to. It's always fun because it just feels like it's sort of fortuitous. You know, you just... Your travels and their travels have to coincide.
Yes,
and then when you get to see something that's good that way, it's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let us know. We'll be waiting for the live reports, and we will talk to everybody again next week.
Yes.
With another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.